action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're about to get back underway, not quite yet though. There's been a change at the break for Hearts. It's the one we saw coming, David Friel.
Yeah, Gordon, just about to kick off here, but Xander Clark has been withdrawn. I think it was the right decision. He was clearly struggling. He obviously made those two mistakes as well. So Ross Stewart's on, and Barry Mackay is also on for Keogh as well. Just about to kick off here.
So Xander Clark and Craig Gordon injured at the moment for Hearts. How's it looking at Ibrox? Gabriel, I take it that goal changes the complexion completely. No Rangers fan heading along today would have envisaged heading in goalless at the break.
Yeah, completely, Gordon. I mean, they had been playing quite well, but it was starting to get that atmosphere the way it can get here at Ibrox when it's goalless against a team you should be beating. But they completely deserved it. Malik Tillman specifically deserved it with his good play. He's just walking out now alongside Ryan Kent and Todd Cantwell. Those three have been so bright behind Alfredo Morelos. Some really nice link-up, and they'll hope to continue that in the second half. Perhaps rack up some goals. We know how big next week is at that big Old Firm game, so let's see if we can see more of that. But no changes here. Rangers and United, both the same as they were before the interval.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Windows and Doors. Buy now, pay nothing till 2024.
Must be nice when these things work out, because it won't always be the case. But Michael Beale said yesterday specifically that Todd Cantwell and Malik Tillman have got a very good relationship off the pitch. They've got a good relationship on it, and he needs to find a way to get them both in the same team. Fast forward to today, and they both combine for the game's only goal so far.
Yeah, you could probably tell that they've got a good relationship off and on the pitch, because the pass that Cantwell finds Tillman with is brilliant. He's no right to make the pass. It's terrific, because Mark pointed out the ball played in with Taverniers, played in with real pace, and he just cushions it round the corner, takes all
is
the
it done. Is it almost behind him? You know, yeah. He sort of almost has to, like, kind of dig it out as well to get it in front.
But it's when he plays it, it's perfectly weighted. It takes all the Dundee United defenders out of the equation. Tillman takes a nice touch and fires it in the corner. Terrific. That's what it's all about.
The difference is, see, Tillman known to make the run, because he knows Cantwell's good enough to see him. Yeah, when you're playing in a team and you don't quite think a midfielder's got that vision, you don't make the run, really. But he knows what Cantwell's about. He knows he can pick those passes. That's why he makes the run. Terrific goal.
Yeah, so Rangers one up then, heading into the second half that is now underway. St Mirren hasn't quite started yet. Fraser, you were behind already, and then you had your VAR. I mean, anyway, back for Livy. I feel that might be a daft question.
Well, they made a couple of changes. I'm just looking here. Montano and Omeonga coming on for Penrice and Holt, but they've been off it. You know, the way usual way Livy play, you know, they make it difficult for teams, make it awkward, they're always in the game. But St Mirren have just been far too strong for them, and I think David Martindale will be interested to hear after the game what his thoughts are, because I just can't see them getting back into this game. St Mirren have been terrific, they've been quick, they've been strong. Curtis Main has laid on all three goals, and he scored himself as well. But it's been a bizarre day from that 15th second when the handball took place. And I have to say, we'll see it on the television, but even from here, you're thinking that was a very obvious handball as well. And O'Hara's actually come off and replaced by Greg Kilty. I don't know, that's maybe because of he got booked just 15 seconds after the handball incident. But it's been eventful, it's been exciting. St Mirren fans are absolutely delighted. They're packed in here, it's a good crowd. And you can only see more goals for St Mirren, I'm afraid.
Well, we'll watch, well, we'll listen on with interest there. Sorry, Hugh, Brentford 3-2 up now on Brighton. And I'll tell you what, his half-time team talks must be magnificent. You see how energetic he is at beat the pundit. The Palmerston pep, it was goalless at the break, 2 minutes into the second half, and Queen of the South take the lead.
The dogs in the street are beating Peterhead. What took him so long?
It is a fair point, but we'll give credit where it's due. Marvin Bartley's Queen of the South one up on Peterhead. Let's get the second half teaser up and running, Hugh, because I think we might need as much time as possible on this one.
The second half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Lee Hodgson and Gary Naismith. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Roberto Di Matteo. I have won promotion in two different countries. I've been loaned out four times, but only ever played for one club outside the UK. Who Am I? I've played alongside Lee Hodgson and Gary Naismith. Been managed by Ian McCall and Roberto Di Matteo. I've won promotion in two different countries. I've been loaned out four times, but only ever played for one club outside of the UK. Who am I?
This, I love these. At Clyde SSB, get your answers in. One of my colleagues and I were talking about this during the week. Honestly, it's the one part of the show that still blows my mind every week. I don't care. The football knowledge is one thing, but how your minds all work to come up with these answers so quickly, I just can't do it. And it shows you that it works in mysterious ways, because you are remarkably good at them. Gordon DL, have you got any inkling today?
I'm just taking all the information in. I'll be back to you.
Okay, at Clyde SSB, our listeners are the smartest, the most on the ball anywhere, and they will be in with the right answer soon. It blows my mind every week. Let's see what we've got. Morton nil, Inverness 1, Scott Allardyce on 54 minutes, Elgin nil, Stirling Albion 3, Robert Thompson with the goal. A bit of a pushing match between Kevin Van Veen and David Marshall. Spoken to, but no bookings. David Marshall's usually quite a calm, composed figure, is he not?
Oh. Yeah, he certainly is.
He wasn't in Serbia.
And Donnelly and McKenzie both booked for Kilmarnock in quick succession. Niggly start to the second half there.
All gone pear-shaped for Robbie Nielsen. He really needs a good second half. You know, when David Field could say at half-time that Kilmarnock were excellent and Hearts were awful, I think was the word they used.
And DeZonti's third-choice goalie.
Yeah,
defeats in the last six coming up, unless they can find two goals from somewhere.
That's the one to keep your eye on there for David Fraley. Think that's got a lot to offer that game. Hearts badly need a result.
Hugh, it's not often that we move away from football here on a Saturday afternoon to other sports, but there are certain stories that just deserve probably more time than we could give them. And actually, really sad news this afternoon that Ken Buchanan has died, age 77.
Yeah.
Talking one of the all-time, perhaps, well, the all-time Scottish boxing superstar. You'll know the story better than me. Undisputed lightweight champion of the world in 1970. Legendary status achieved. A career spanning 17 years. The Tartan legend, born in Edinburgh. Big Hibs fan. And he sadly passed away at the age of 77.
And I'm glad they got the statue of Kenny up in Leith before his sad passing, because he is a true great of the Scottish sporting world. I was privileged to be the guest chairman at the St Andrews Sporting Club's 50th anniversary show just in January. Now, 50 years ago in January, Kenny Buchanan fought Glasgow's Jim Watt, and the fight is still talked about to this day. I had the pleasure of interviewing Jim Watt that night, and he said, I won't kid you on, it does seem like another life 50 years ago. But he and Kenny Buchanan had tremendous respect. Kenny beat Ishmael Laguna, a Panamanian, to become the world lightweight champion. He defended it successfully twice, and then he lost most controversially to Roberto Duran in Madison Square Garden. He spent the rest of his life knowing that he had been robbed that night. One of the greats, a legend. You talk about the Scotland game midweek, and we wanted the result to rival the win over Spain 40 years ago. Kenny Buchanan took part in a fight 53 years ago that people still talk about. A true great.
Yeah, well said. Sad news this afternoon. Just to recap, if you're just joining us, Ken Buchanan has sadly passed away at the age of 77. So really sad news this afternoon. Back to the football though, and Motherwell have a penalty at Easton Road.
Yes.
David Marshall has tripped Blair Spittle. He's been booked. Kevin Van Veen to take, but there seems to be a bit of a delay. So whether that's now getting looked at again or whatever, I will tell you as soon as I know any more. But that incident certainly took place a good moment, a minute or two ago. I thought they would have taken it by now, and they haven't. The penalty has been confirmed, so it will be taken by Kevin Van Veen.
Big moment for Motherwell, this, Daz is right. If they go ahead in the points.
Well, listen, it's a very good penalty taker against a very good penalty saver.
Yeah,
he was
it.
Just mentioned that night in Serbia. So let's find out what the outcome is going to be. Who is going to come out on top?
Goal Flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
David Marshall nearly got there. He was unlucky, but the ball has slipped underneath him from Kevin Van Veen, and Motherwell lead Hibs 2-0 at Easter Road.
Not a great result for Lee Johnson. I fully understand it's a tremendous scoreline so far for Stuart Kettlewell, but Lee Johnson seems to spend his time telling you how difficult life is in Scotland. It's easy for Ange Postecoglou, he said, and difficult Scottish football clubs like his need a shake, he said. I don't mean an shake. I mean someone from the Middle East.
Do you know what's funny, right? I am aware of that story from this week.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're on about, and I still thought you meant shake for some reason. Anyway,
so you know, he's got to stop talking in these terms and get about his business. That's a blow, because Hibs were looking to overthrow Hearts. How sweet would that have been? But Hearts are losing and Hibs are losing, so not a great day for Lee Johnson.
19 for the season for Kevin Van Veen, Gordon Deal.
Some return. I don't think he gets enough credit. Comes in for a bit of criticism from the Motherwell fans because they think, oh, well, sometimes he's off, doesn't look interested, whatever. But if you're playing with Motherwell, you've been down there fighting at the bottom, you're now crawling your way back up the league, and you've scored 19 goals so far. It's a fantastic return.
7 in his last 8. This is so far, Mark Wilson. As well.
Well, yeah, like you guys say, a fantastic return. I mean, early on the season, I was a bit critical of him because I saw him a couple of times and he just looked like he couldn't move. But he didn't have willing runners round about him. That was the difference, I think, when Stuart Kettlewell came in. He's certainly changed that.
Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
It's Rangers again, and it's Malik Tillman again. He's on a hat trick. He took his time in the box. He's fired it under the goalkeeper. Maybe Jim Goodwin will feel his goalie could have done better, but I don't think Michael Beale will be complaining. And Rangers looking a lot closer to easy street now. Rangers 2, Dundee United 2. It is a double for Malik Tillman.
Well, that's I think the goalkeeper has to be looked at for that one. But that's the game over, and Rangers have done their part. It's up to Celtic now tomorrow, because everything is about a week today at Celtic Park, and the lead is now 6 points at the top, and Celtic have to go about their business carefully in Dingwall tomorrow at the beginning of a new week. At the end of the old week, Lee Johnson said that Ange Postecoglou's job was easy. He does not like that, Ange Postecoglou.
I'm critical of goalkeepers, right? I'd be more critical of my two defenders who just step off and let them get a shot from about 8-9 yards. But I think he hits that hard, it goes too quick for a goalkeeper to react. I'm going to stick up for a goalkeeper here.
I mean,
he's
close to the goalkeeper, and that's the bit that doesn't make it look good. Yeah. But it's coming through a couple of defenders. And
I'm giving credit to Tillman here. As I say, I've always criticised goalkeepers because I don't like them. And I've got to say, I wouldn't criticise him there. I'd give all the credit to Tillman. Good goal.
Yeah.
So whatever I said earlier, Mark, was that he's 11th of the season, so he's up to 12. Even I can keep track of that. And
fantastic return. But you just see him there in the build up to the goal. Morelos has dropped deep, and it's actually Tillman's the furthest forward, you know, the focal point.
Well, he's been playing up there next to him, hasn't
he? So definitely much closer. And Kent bodies round him the box, who lays it off. But it's his composure, it's the most impressive thing there. But I'm with Daz, Dundee United defenders, if you're McMahon, it's got to come a stage in the box where you have to engage rather than back off. And he keeps backing off, allows Tillman to shoot. But that'll be game, set, and match now, and they can relax a wee bit, these Rangers players. Interesting to see if he'll bring anybody off the bench pretty soon and think about next week's game.
As I resist the temptation to say, oh, you've learned your lesson now, Sean Goss tries to lob David Marshall from the halfway line. We've seen that movie before. He's back this time. He gets back and saves it under the bar. There was no Patrick Sheik remake in Easter Road.
What that tells me just now, just listening to that, is Motherwell were playing with that much confidence. You know, winning games gives you so much confidence. You go to Easter Road today, I think most of the Motherwell supporters would have been happy with a draw and moved on. But so far it's convincing.
Interesting this morning, Harry Payton signed by Motherwell. Did you see that? Former Ross County midfielder just signed him today out of the blue. He's obviously a free agent. And he's just come on for the injured Spittle. Hugh, if there was one manager in the league who could have just done without a VAR decision going against them today?
McGuinness.
The man who said he was sick to death of VAR.
Well, I don't know what the stage after sick to death is, because there's a red card check for a Rory McKenzie tackle. Ewan Anderson, I think we're having a look at that one. So we'll keep you up to speed there. Listen, again, that's not to say it might be the correct decision, and then I've got a funny feeling, unless it's the most blatant one you've ever seen, Derek McInnes won't be happy. And indeed, Rory McKenzie has been sent off.
Ten aside.
Hearts have still got 11.
You're allowed to bring the goalie on.
Another goalkeeper, come on, you.
Who's got sent off somewhere else?
Hugh, I was at St.
Get
John's
yourself
and McDermott
back up to Ange Struther. You need another weekend in that caravan.
Considine was sent off at McDermott Park.
Well, listen, Kilmarnock went down to 10 men and were 2-0 down and salvaged the draw at Fir Park earlier this season. In one hand, Hugh, that's not good news for Kilmarnock. If anything, does it put even more pressure on Hearts?
Yeah, of course it does.
The fans will say, well, you couldn't even get a result 10 against 10 men for whatever it is, half an hour.
And I go back to David Friel's half-time summation of Hearts, that they were awful. So, yeah, of course, it's bad enough losing to 11, but unacceptable if you lose to 10.
And I think you're right,
George Grant.
I think you're right. It does bring pressure because of the amount of time still left. As Tillman goes close again there for a hat trick, he's desperate for that match ball.
Big goal that in the Championship. Does anyone want to go and try and win this thing? It's going to be advantage Dundee today, because Raith Rovers have scored a second against Queen's Park. Lewis Vaughan, and Dundee, last I checked, were three up on Hamilton Accies. So it could be a big day for the Dens Park side.
It'd be 1 point in it if the game stayed as they are.
This is when you know it's a good question. No one has got the teaser. Not a single correct answer yet. That's when you know it's a good one, Hugh. So recap it if you can.
Yeah, I have played alongside Lee Hodgson and Guy Naismith. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Roberto Di Matteo. I have won promotion in two different countries. I've been loaned out 4 times, but only ever played for one club outside of the UK. Who am I?
Robbie Boyd thinks it might be Gary Harkins.
No.
Quite a few people, Stephen Carden, Bailey, and others saying Peter Grant.
Granty, no.
And I can see where some of them are going here, though. And they're not on the wrong track. So there's a shout here from Hyperbolic Pessimist for Graham Dorans.
No.
We've already had the shout for what was the other name I mentioned?
Harkins.
No, so it's the Graham Dorans one I'm most interested in. That's what I'm saying to you.
Peter Grant's fairly off the wall as a suggestion. Ian McCall, Roberto Di Matteo.
Kieran wants to throw in Alan Hutton.
No.
Right, keep your guesses coming. Come on, it's up for grabs. Nobody is on the podium yet. Not anyone. It is empty. Let's see what you've got. Gordon DL, you've got a reputation to keep up here.
It's very hard. I'm trying.
You're usually very good.
Hold on. My partner, I'm crying.
No, he's not got it.
Snodgrass, no.
Ooh, we've got a goal at Easter Road. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. And it's not over yet. Kevin Nisbet got a hat trick against Motherwell last time out. He scored again, a flashing header from Chris Cadden's cross. And what will worry Motherwell, Gordon DL, is Hibs were never in it, according to Roger Hanna. Totally against the run of play. And now with 30 minutes left, it is game on.
Yes, that's Hibs got a lifeline. Home advantage as well, Gordon. They just need to watch what they're doing the next 10-15 minutes. Could you imagine that Hibs are going to pile a lot of pressure on them? They've got to stay strong. Look, you would accept this with 30 minutes to go at Easter Road 2-1. You've still got a lead, but concentration's everything for Stuart Kettle.
This is where Motherwell would have crumbled. When a wee bit of pressure goes against them or piles on them, they lose a goal, they'd sometimes collapse a season. But I think they're in a different place now with Stuart Kettlewell. I think they'll still have enough about them to see that out. Not ideal though, when you're cruising. I've been there 100 times. Cruising, you think it's a great afternoon, and all of a sudden, bang, 2-1, and you're thinking, oh, here comes the nerves. We start retreating towards our own goal.
Yeah, and they've tried to capitalise on that moment. Newell, Cabraja and Kuharevich on in a triple switch for Hibs. So they're rolling the dice. Lauren Shankland has had a shot saved down there at Rugby Park. Remember, Kelly are down to 10 men, but they do lead Hearts by 2-1.
Well, Robbie Nielsen needs something to happen quickly, and it might just suit Kilmarnock, getting everybody behind the ball, just sitting in there, being hard to break down. I'm not sure that what the Kelly fans would feel of that if it does revert to back, looking at their goals conceded this season. But Robbie Nielsen needs one of his big players to step up, get him an equaliser.
Well, he's got guys on the pitch who can score goals, he's got guys on the pitch who can create it. So it'll be an interesting last 30 minutes at Rugby Park. I think we'll get a goal down there. I think Hearts could maybe sneak a draw.
Game at Ibrox, by the way, I'm amazed that Rangers aren't further ahead. I think this is some of the best stuff they've played at Ibrox this season. We're chatting about
second
it before
half.
The game. Second half. But by the way, I didn't think they were that bad in the first half. I thought they moved it quick enough, but they just didn't create enough chances. They eventually got the goal with Tillman. But the second half, they've been very bright round about the Dundee United box. And I think Jack, moments ago, should have shot when he was in. I think Tillman could have had another one. Morelos almost in there. Just a matter of time before a third goes in.
Good spell, Livy, but they are 3-0 down, so it's not entirely enough to have a good spell. Hibs, you sense, have got their tails up a bit. McCurdy's angled drive from just goes inches wide of the far post. We've got a turning shot by McCrory from inside the box for Aberdeen that's over. And Humphreys and Cochrane on for Hearts, Kingsley and Forrest off.
Well, I mean, you were asking earlier, Gordon, you know, how would it be for Robbie Nielsen if he lost to 10 men? You know, the Hibs fans would be saying, what will it be like if we lose at home on a day when Hearts have dropped all 3 points, when we could have made a serious impression on the league table?
Hibs will fancy getting something now though, Gordon, won't they?
Yeah, at home. But I agree with Mark. I think Motherwell are in a far better place now. Winning gives you confidence. They'll probably have worked on, you know, different parts of the game where they might come under a bit of pressure, maybe sat a little bit deeper and then try and hit the counter attack. Look, I said earlier when it was 2-0, if Motherwell, a lot of fans would have been happy with a draw at Easter Road. They've still got the 3 points in their grasp. They've got to try and make sure they concentrate and see this out.
They will see it out.
You think so, Matt?
Aye. Don't use too panic.
Oh, I'm not panicking. I'm full of confidence for a steelman.
Can see the change in the mood for you across the desk,
yeah,
because
struggling
somebody
a
was celebrating and looked quite relaxed moments ago, and now it's a tense affair.
Shankland's had another shot saved as Hearts go searching for that equaliser down the league's Mortons. I've scored a penalty there now, level. Oh no. The Palmerston Pep, what's happened?
Oh, right off Peter.
Queen of the South 1, Peterhead 1. Jason Brown with the goal. He'll not be happy.
No, nor should he be. If he moans about losing Beat the Pundit, what will it be like today?
Exactly. Still time to turn it round. Jack Aitchison has come on for Motherwell, replacing the returning Mikel Mandron. Both of those strikers have been out, having been brought to the club quite recently, so it's one for the other. Jack Aitchison on, Mandron off.
Well, it shows you that he's obviously still confident there's another goal in it for him, because when you're 2-1 up, you could easily get into that negative mode and think, right, take a forward off, stick on an extra midfielder or a defender and change it a little bit and shore things up. But well done to him. You better get it right.
He's got very little wrong since he's come in, actually, you've got to say. But Stuart Keltwell, he's been outstanding. It's unusual, I think, when you see a new manager come in. They sometimes get the bounce and everybody goes, great, it's the right decision. And then things start turning a bit and they manage to come. I think almost everything has been positive for Keltwell since he's come in.
The VAR check has been regularly used in Paisley today. There's now one for a Livingston penalty for an alleged foul on Stephen Kelly. Fraser Wishart says it didn't look like a penalty to him, and they'd be as well just asking Fraser, because he's got it right. Check over, no penalty.
He's got an opinion and everything.
Oh, he's good though, he's bang on with
he
that.
He is, he's on the ball today, he's having a good day. He's waited a long, long time for Super Scoreboard to say that, but he's having a real good day today.
He has called them all so far.
Yeah, right in the money.
Again, a little look at the teaser, Hugh. I think we should, because is there anyone yet?
It's a hard one this today.
I'm struggling.
Yeah, you've not had one guess. At least I've had one batted away.
There's no point just getting a wrong guess, Mark. You're better getting in with the right answer.
I have played alongside Lee Hodgson and Gary Naismith. I've been managed by Ian McCall and Roberto Di Matteo. I've won promotion in two different countries. I've been loaned out four times, but only ever played for one club outside of the UK. Who am I?
They're getting there. I can see it because I mentioned Graham Dorans, okay? Woody67 wants to throw in Kyle Bartley.
No.
Okay. Michael McKenna wants to throw in Yusuf Malumbu.
No.
Right. You seen what direction this is heading in?
No.
Bartley, Dorans, Malumbu.
What's the connection there?
That's all I'm saying for now.
West Brom, yeah.
I said that's all I'm saying for
now. Are you saying West Brom?
Okay.
His mic's off.
West Brom.
James Tavernier's shot deflected wide after a great move. Rangers looking for a third. And you wouldn't grudge them at Hugh?
No. You know, you cannot take away from their performance by saying Dundee United are woeful. But this is the way Michael Beale wants Rangers to play. Everything is about building confidence for next Saturday. You can only beat what's in front of you, even if what's in front of you is not up to much. So Rangers, they're in the position of being able to say, we're okay, we've reduced the gap to six.
If you're wondering what that unprofessional outburst was.
Sorry, Hugh.
We've got it.
Mark Wilson wrote down his answer to the teaser, showed it to Gordon Dale, who went, nah. And it is the correct answer.
Yes.
Well done to you.
Thanks, Mark Wilson.
Obviously,
I
think I've been giving out quite strong clues.
Yeah.
No, not that strong.
Discipline has gone to pieces inside this studio.
Thinking the standards since you started.
There was a time today when Gordon Dale was explaining his coffee making technique.
No, it wasn't the coffee that worried me. As we just acknowledged, there's an appeal for a penalty for a push on Alfredo Morelos that we'll get back to. The coffee bit, I could live with you, because there's a bit of debate there. He likes to go milk first and whatever. Fine, okay. He revealed the police are going to be at the door waiting for you at 5 past 6. That's how bad this is. Gordon Dalziel puts his milk in his bowl first and then puts his Weetabix in the puddle of milk. That is ludicrous. Objectively ludicrous. I will not have anyone back you up on
that
theory.
A lot of people back me up on that.
What, so you put a random amount of milk into a bowl, and then do you place the Weetabix in? Do you drop it from a height? Does it splash?
No. One at each side, and then fill in the gaps with your cornflakes. Bang, wee bit syrup. You have got a lovely breakfast. Say no more.
I've got the mind of a 10-year-old.
One,
honestly.
You don't waste any milk, and we know that times are hard.
What difference does it make?
Because you fill your bowl up, don't you? You listen, you don't sit in the bath and fill the water. You fill the water and then sit in the bath, don't you?
Well, in fairness, I can't argue with that. I actually cannot argue with that.
There you go.
He's a genius. He's a genius.
I'll just sit in the bath, put the tap on. No, you don't. You fill the water and you go.
6 years on this show, that might be the best thing that you've ever said. Because you've tried to salvage it, and I get your logic, but I'm still not having it. There is no way anyone else out there puts milk in the bowl, then the Weetabix.
Yeah,
not a chance.
I'm recording with this. Your sugar puffs and your cornflakes.
That's fine. Those are just accessories. We're ignoring that. It's the first bit of it that I'm disturbed by.
Yeah, milk first. Always gives you that room for error.
But it's the whole point that you pour the milk on top
milk,
and
you
then
put a third Weetabix in. It just works wonders. Try it.
What do you mean you've too much milk? Surely you judge the amount of milk you're pouring on top of your cereal instead of saying,
no, milk first.
I need to then get the cereal.
Milk first.
What happened to the penalty with Morelos?
Nah, nothing.
He's got his Weetabix.
Nothing important. He's away off, actually. Tavernier and Morelos off.
Oh, that's
Tavernier.
Yeah, that's next week.
That's next week.
James Tavernier, and he's been replaced by Fashion Sakala and Scott Wright. So no recognisable right back. And
Tavernier's booked, of course.
Also, I was going to say there's been a lot of talk about Rangers going to a back three. Remember in recent weeks, but actually John Lundstrom's just gone to right back.
Yeah. Well, Tavernier got booked earlier on for a hand in the face of Behic. When I say minimal contact,
it might be a back three. I think but a possibility.
Michael Beale obviously having a look at next week. Doesn't want to take any of this.
It's a back three. Scott Wright is the right wing back and John Lundstrom's the right centre back, which might frustrate John Souter a bit, because he would probably be hoping, Mark, that if it goes to back three at some point,
he'd be the one.
He's
yeah.
involved in that.
Yeah, someone pretty comfortable, comfortable breaking out with the ball, plenty of pace, suited to playing a back three. But just had to bide his time at the minute. But I think, again, I'll go back to it. I think Rangers have been really sharp in and around the box, particularly in the 45 minutes, the second 45 minutes, I should say. Tillman, Cantwell look good. There's no doubt in my mind that'll be the lineup for next week.
Dundee 5, Hamilton Accies 0. 72 minutes gone. We had jokes earlier about what John Rankin had been up to this week, but my goodness, that is an absolute doing, and it could get worse. 20 minutes to go. Not only a disastrous result for Hamilton, but a very good one for Dundee on a day that Queen's Park are losing 2-0.
And there'll only be 1 point between them, and Dundee have a game in hand. If it stays this way, in the Queen's Park game and in the Dundee game, 1 point between them, and Dundee will have a game in hand over Queen's Park.
What are you laughing at?
Sid Simon Donnelly's just texted me saying there's a golfer on that Netflix show that does that with a cereal well.
I can't.
Colin Morikawa.
There you go.
Those are where the similarities end, by the way.
Only two on this earth do it. You and a famous golfer.
Yep. Two famous people.
Just ludicrous. Honestly,
it's weird.
Do you wonder? You wonder if you know, when Morelos coming off, why Colak never come on the pitch? I know Sakala has been a big part and scored against Motherwell, but centre forward Colak for next week. Is he keeping Morelos for next week, or is he keeping Colak for next week? Because I've watched a lot of the game. I don't think Morelos is really. Had a terrific game. He's not got a goal as well. I didn't see him really testing the goalkeeper too much.
I think you're setting the agenda for Super Scoreboard Monday to Friday.
It'll be interesting, the team lineups next
do
week.
Do you put your Weetabix in before your milk or not? Give us a call at 01419511025.
Do you sit in the bath and then pour the tap?
Exactly, Hugh. Can't argue with that.
6-0.
Oh my goodness. Lyle Cameron scored a hat-trick. 76 minutes gone. Dundee 6, Hamilton 0.
It's a worthless bauble now.
Oh, I'll agree with you on that. I don't think the cup final will be getting remembered too fondly this evening.
That's the sad thing about it. Last week, you're so high with the celebrations and the achievement, and it is a good achievement for Hamilton, but this week, you're in a completely different mood. 6-0, and still time for more.
Are we on for the 10?
No, but I think we could be on for maybe 7 or 8.
7. Old 7 spelt out in brackets after it.
Needs to come into the 7 club mark.
We're paid up members.
Paid up members, yeah. Yep. Chairman, vice chairman.
Yep. Oh, it's nothing more scissor. So I do feel for John. But goes to show you, Dundee, I mean, Queen's Park taking a lot of the plaudits this year in Dundee, going about their business nicely. It goes to show you they're forced to be reckoned with. I just wonder who's going like that. Hugh's right. 1 point between them after today, and Dundee with a game in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, so heating up always does the championship. It's always a very competitive division.
I mean, Queen's Park lost to Arbroath last weekend, and now it's Raith Rovers. I mean, six points.
When do the wheels get declared as having come off?
Well, I think it's a quick fit job now.
John Spears wants a mention for North Motherwell FC Blues under 13s because they beat their local rivals Cambus Neath and Talbot 4-2 in the league. And he says, I know you're a local lad and the Dazzler as a former player would appreciate this, but you're torn because you used to play for North Motherwell.
Yeah.
But you gave out the medals at the Cambus Neath and Talbot Awards.
Oh, so I did. I loved the Cambus Neath and Talbot.
You glory hunter.
Yeah. Those boys
are like
the Hamilton boys.
The boys that night didn't listen to too much of my advice.
You're
getting
possible.
Beat a bit. North Motherwell were some team when I was involved.
North Motherwell.
Oh, doing the Calder wide right on the Ashy Park. Poof. Beep, beep.
Straight up the road, pour milk.
Did you ever see the ash pitches? When you couldn't kick the ball properly, did you ever make a wee kind of sandcastle and put the ball in it to get it? Corner kick! You would see your teammate main a wee castle getting the ball. Get back post, big man.
Just in that, just a real sort of snapshot into how your mind works, because Gordon DL, me, and I think everyone else would have just described it as a tea, but you described it as a wee sandcastle.
Aye, aye.
No, I love that.
Because you got to make the wee dent in the middle for the ball to sit and
put a moat round it.
I took a bit of height on it.
It's great, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That Lions has come on for Doidge. Killy are doing well, down to 10 men, but still leading Hearts and doing well. Big result at the top of League 2, potentially. Dumbarton 1, Stenhouse Muir 2. Thomas Orr with the goal. Dumbarton were looked a shoe-in to win League 2, but it's
talking about wheels coming off.
Very much Stirling Albion in the ascendancy there. Anything else doing? Oda for Ginelli for Hearts. Just doesn't seem likely, Hugh, for the Jambos.
Well,
I mean, I'm not even sure rescuing a point would suit the fans, but that in itself looks far enough off at this stage.
And the trouble for Robbie Nielsen is no one will listen, but what a season he's had for injuries. To lose Craig Gordon and Xander Clark, you're now down to your third choice goalkeeper. You've got a list of long term injuries as long as your arm.
Ludicrous, isn't Halkett, Boyce, Beningame.
Yeah.
All
Peter
stars.
Haring.
Yeah.
And then the rest have all had their shot as well, but those are the kind of long term ones.
But the fans won't take that into account. He's had a difficult relationship with the fans, I think, since the time he left Hearts to join the MK Dons as manager.
Even and before that, though, that was the point, wasn't it? Remember, they were flying high and still there were doubters
He beat Rangers 4-1 at Tynecastle, went second top of the league, and left the following day. And I don't think he's ever been.
I would like to hear the reasoning behind that. You know, I get if he was an outsider coming into the club and he was unpopular, he was at the club, you know, he played a successful time at Hearts as well. So I wonder what the thinking is behind that. Now, you're right, so many injuries, but they are still at this moment sitting in third place. So that's got to be applauded as well.
My clues have paid off. We're now starting to get more correct answers
too late.
On the teaser. I'm glad I've got some support. APTRM80, never milk first with cereal.
Never lived a lad.
Says that's worse than people who don't take their tea bag out before adding the milk.
But yeah, it worked good with Cocoa Pops, so get to see the milk.
There we go.
Gradually change.
Sandcastles and Cocoa Pops. How old are you?
I do like Cocoa Pops.
Have you ever tried your.
Hold on. Oh. Big goal. Goal Easter Road. So it's either level.
Hold on, look at you first.
Well, let me try and put my best poker face on.
I tell you what, it's an equaliser. Clyde Built
Home Improvements. 3-1 to Motherwell. Yeah. Kevin Van Veen on the edge of the box. A brilliant free kick again. Motherwell have been working on their set pieces over the international break. Flashed into the far corner. He is in red hot goal scoring form this season.
20
for the season. 1st of April for a team that, by and large, you would consider a struggling side this season.
Well, they were a struggling side. They were down there. There was a lot of people tipping them for relegation at one point. So to get 20, and by the way, 20 so far, there's still a lot of games to be played.
You're thinking the percentage. They've only scored 36 goals. He gets 20 of them. You
know, at this moment,
incredible.
There are people piling out of Easter Road.
Jeering, and you're right. They're jeering and some are leaving.
And here's why. The big winners today will be Aberdeen if they hold on to that one goal lead they have at Perth, because they will go to within 1 point of Hearts and 4 points away from Hibs. Barry Robson's the big winner out of that trio today, so long as he holds on to the one goal lead he has at McDermott Park.
Absolutely. Certainly set up for a fantastic finish. Because some very interesting results today so far. Very, very interesting.
Also,
indeed.
I think St Mirren are a big winners today. They leapfrog Livingston and Hibs. So it's been a real good day for Paisley men. Got to say
not
that.
Over yet, of course. The Palmerston Pep, though, he's made the changes, Hugh. He's thrown on some subs, tactical. He's moved a few guys around. And Lee Connolly has put Queen of the South 2-1 up against Peterhead.
The way things are going at Hibs. Palmerston Pep was back at Easter Road shortly.
We'd like that, that's for sure. Sorry, Queen of the South fans. But there we are. Anything else doing at the moment? I don't think so. Let's do one last check on the teaser. Hugh, I'll do the answers in just 2 minutes, but just in case anyone needs to try and get over that line.
I have played alongside Lee Hodgson and Gary Naismith. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Roberto Di Matteo. I have won promotion in two different countries
I've been loaned out four times, but only ever played for one club outside of the UK. Who am I?
Scott McClellan thinks it's Jason Holt.
No.
Peter Gray thinks it's Ross McCormick.
Ross McCormick, no.
Juan Douglas thinks it's Gary Teal.
No.
And Paul McKean thinks it's Derek McInnes.
Not Del Boy.
Right, come on, you're all nearly there. There's lots of you do have it right now. We're nearly there. That's your final set of clues.
Brighton's still looking for an equaliser. I can't believe it.
Motherwell's free kick taking, Gordon. You will enjoy the highlights of these. Let me
brilliant,
tell you.
Are they?
Yeah, I think Goss, both of them.
All credit to Stuart Kettlewell. It's a fantastic scoreline so far, soon to be result. But what a shocker for Lee Jones.
Up in the stand today, wasn't he? Roger Hanna said, you know, a touchline ban. Right.
He'll be up in a plane shortly.
He's been up in the up in the stand. A big result coming in at the top of the English Premier League. We always give it a passing mention. Man City beating Liverpool earlier on. Was it 4-1 in the end, I think?
Yeah, 4-1.
And a similar scoreline, Arsenal 4, Leeds 1. Granit Xhaka has added a fourth for Arsenal.
Will Scott McTominay get a game for Man U tomorrow?
No, John Rankin. Seven brackets. In the club.
Open the brackets. Seven. Dundee,
oh,
seven. Hamilton, nil. With a good, as much as 10 minutes left by the time you add on the additional time.
When was that Hamilton? Was that Hamilton Morton?
10-2.
Was it 10?
10-2.
10-2, yeah. So,
no, it's not going to get to 10. No chance.
Seven's enough. Well, Hugh, you're always one that said that teams, when they get to about, what, 4 or 5, take their foot off the gas. Dundee, obviously not in that frame of mind today. Ranks will be hoping to do not.
Hearts are toiling. That is the message from Rugby Park. I don't think it will be a popular outcome at all amongst the away fans. They always take good crowds everywhere they go, and that will be a furious reception if this one stays the way it is.
Well, I think so, especially when they're looking round about them, like you rightly pointed out there. When you see Aberdeen with Barry Robson, a transformed side, and you're thinking just weeks ago it looked like Hearts were nailed on for third, but they've got Aberdeen chasing them down. Obviously, Habs getting beat, but they're not too far behind either.
The big worry is Ross County, Dundee United, because Kilmarnock are sneaking, if they get the 3 points, sneaking slowly away. Motherwell are slowly away now. St Johnstone, losing today, they've stayed there, but there's a little bit of a gap growing.
Arfield, Souter and Colak all on. So it was a back three before, so you'd imagine John Souter slots into that, and the rest will go to their familiar roles as well. Not too long left, so it's not overly dramatic, but yeah.
Funny game at Perth.
Actually, the three midfielders have come off for Rangers, so Cantwell, Tillman and Jack off. Arfield, Souter and Colak on.
Well, you could take your pick who was man of the match out of those, but probably Tillman because his goals. But him and Cantwell, top notch today. Rangers fans will go home happy with what they witnessed this afternoon.
Tell you what, one of the results of the day might come up at Cove, because Partick Thistle have scored a fifth through Danny Mullen. So Cove nil, Partick Thistle 5. Right, Hugh, let's dish out some awards.
The second half teaser with the scottishsun.co.uk/football
for the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Lee Hodgson and Gary Naismith. I have been managed by Ian McCall and Roberto Di Matteo. I've won promotion in two different countries. I've been loaned out four times, but only ever played for one club outside of the UK. I am Craig Beattie.
Craig Beattie, well done if you got it right. Mark Wilson did, lots of you did eventually, but it had you thinking. Well done to Claire in third place. Claire takes the bronze. Derek FM in second place, and Shandy Garden, I don't know either, is the winner of that second half teaser. I love that. Always like to get you a lot involved, and you've done very well, I must say. Good showing on there. And some good responses to that one.
Yep, my old teammate. Yep, old pal, old neighbour as well. Beats, great guy.
Oh, a goal.
Hugh's celebrating, which can only mean one thing.
Yeah,
the Seagulls.
Have they equalised, have they?
Yes, 3-3. Yeah. What a game that'll be tonight.
Absolutely six goal thriller. It's the Scottish sounding member of the team.
McAllister.
It's Alexis McAllister. Yeah. who scored a 90th minute penalty. That'll be popular amongst your grandkids, I'm absolutely sure of it.
They'll be there today with their season tickets.
Right, are we getting any late drama anywhere? Is there scope for any? A Hearts equaliser, would that, is that about all you
the,
would...
The real sickener would be if Barry Robson conceded now.
Sure.
Having led for so long, no mention of St Johnston doing
against 10
much.
Men.
Yeah. So, you know, as I say, potentially he's the winner out of that triumvirate of Hearts, Aberdeen and Hibs.
Yeah, not looking likely for Hearts at all. VAR is checking a handball penalty for Rangers. It was a Colak header, possibly blocked by a hand. We've had a few of these elsewhere today. Two in one game at St Mirren. That's possibly what Gabriel thinks is, which is not always it's not always easy to tell, because play can rage on and then you're waiting for a stoppage. But it might be that Rangers get to just add that something extra to the scoreline.
A bit of icing on the cake.
I'll tell you what, St Johnstone have had a golden chance as well to do it. Yeah, Hallberg, he's just completely miskicked it in front of the Aberdeen goal. Should have scored. What a result that would have been.
Well, that's a lift for Motherwell as well, because Motherwell leapfrog St Johnstone as things stand at the moment. So, you know, inch by inch, Stuart Kettlewell crawling up that league
top
table.
Top six, here we come.
Gap's just a bit big, isn't it?
No,
gap's
yes,
a bit big.
No.
Yeah. Play on at Ibrox. Play on. Well, Motherwell go to 33 today.
6 points behind.
No.
No, it'll be St Mirren one. Sorry, my apologies.
It'll be Hibs.
Hibs.
So you'd be 7 points behind.
Seven points. And the way Hibs are going about their business, and Motherwell, I think.
Yeah, but there's only three next, games till the split.
I know, but the next two games
after
are at
this.
Home, aren't they?
Yeah, but again.
Yeah.
You've not thought this through.
No, three games to the split.
Right.
We get nine, they get nil. We're up there.
I mean, I get that it's possible.
There you go. There you go. Say no more.
Anyway, I think maybe too
you're
little
up.
Too late.
Passport out.
Big booze at Rugby Park just because of the amount of added time. 7 minutes. 7 minutes for Hearts to find an equaliser. I'd like to see the dugouts at Fleetwood, because Gary Caldwell's Exeter have just scored a 91st minute equaliser against Scott Brown's Fleetwood.
He would have liked that one, Gaz.
We'll be shaking each other warmly by the throat.
6 minutes added at Easter Road. I'm not sure how many Hibs fans are left to witness it. They're not too impressed with what they've seen. The travelling support will be delighted, though, that's for sure. And full time, big result at the top of League 2. Elgin nil, Stirling Albion 3.
You see, Lee Johnson can talk all he likes about, it's too easy for Ange Postecoglou here, and the gap between Celtic, Rangers and the rest is horrific. But at home, with the greatest respect to you North Lanarkshire boys, at home to Motherwell, you cannot be losing 3-1.
Well, the budget will be double Motherwell's more, won't it?
Yeah.
Maybe even...
Yeah.
And if your intention at kick-off time was to reduce the deficit between yourselves and Hearts and have the satisfaction of beating them to a place in Europe, it's doubly disappointing, because Hearts have lost
as
and
well.
So did you.
That's why I think you do have to be very careful when you're making comments like that about the Celtic manager and the Rangers manager. You need to get your business done and make sure you turn up on Saturday.
It's quite simple, Matt. Don't get involved in it. That's the way. Just concentrate on your own club. You've got enough troubles there without worrying about anybody else's.
Listen, Lee Johnson can keep saying what he likes
from
our perspective, but I get if you were involved in the game. He's done it. The Palmer
Queen of the South
2, Peterhead 1. He's on a good run, you know.
By the way, playoffs now, a wee bit too far out his reach, maybe, but he has done very well since he's went in there.
What else have we got coming in? Late goals going in England, certainly. Palace look like they've snatched it against Leicester. Jeez. Brendan Rodgers won't be happy.
Get
Dundee.
Yourself an old guy in.
Yeah, exactly.
Aye.
He's
old Roy of the Rovers.
Good result. Turn that is Dundee 7 Hamilton 0 and it's all over. Wow.
Oh, John Rankin will be delighted with that. Great result for Dundee. Really timing the run. It's all about this time of the season, just getting that form, timing your run. 7 today. Oh, training will be brilliant on Monday. So that's got to be really a competitive last few months, let's say.
Terrible for Hamilton, though.
Struggling.
It's hard to bounce back from that. You know, the players dejected, being there as a player, being there as a manager. I know both sides of it. So it's going to be a long old week for John Rankin and his players.
The only good thing is they're still on the heels of Cove. Cove have lost so far 70 goals this season.
That's incredible. That is
70
unbelievable.
Goals.
Unbelievable.
As you say, goalkeeper get gloves. I'd get him two big Gary's doors and let him stand.
But one of those goals was a goalkeeper that scored it. Was it not Partick Thistle up there?
Yeah.
Oh, aye. So they're losing
down here. That was, wasn't it? It was up for Hill, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was at Cove.
How was it?
Yeah. So I mean they're losing goals to every player, every position on the park.
I bet it's one of them when Paul Hartley comes in, they're going, I'm injured. Graham
Shinney has been sent off for Aberdeen, a second yellow for a tackle on Wright. He was speaking to the press yesterday, Graham Shinney, talking about how much he's loving it here and just focusing on getting results rather than worrying about his own future. But he's
good going to, I like Shinney.
Yeah, you always have. His short-term future will look like a small suspension because he's been sent off. Hearts are now pushing hard, but maybe a bit late for that.
What did you say there? 7 minutes? Was it 7 minutes of stoppage time?
Yeah,
6 minutes?
Yeah. But we're about four into that now.
Four in. Oh, well. Well done to Kelly, by the way, because bound to 10 men.
Yeah.
With a lot of time left against a very good Hearts side with Shanklin and Snodgrass was playing one today and all the creative elements they've got. So
Dunfermline won't be winning the league next weekend because they've drawn at home to Kelty Hearts.
1-1.
0-0.
Oh, that'd have been a good game to attend.
Dull affair.
Yeah, send me to that one next week.
The sounds of it. If we're going to get anything, it's going to have to come in the form of a Hearts equaliser, but it's not looking overly likely. They're giving it a push. It's full time at Ibrox. Gabriel.
Yes, Rangers 2 Dundee United 0 at the full time whistle. Malik Tillman stole the show here in Govan, his brace securing all 3 points for the Jers. Rangers started well enough, had plenty of the ball, but with the half approaching, things were perhaps starting to get a little tense, and up stepped Tillman. A brilliant pass through from Todd Cantwell. Tillman duly slid the ball past Mark Birigiti from 6 yards out. It was nearly two in stoppage time before the interval. Ryan Kemp with a great curling effort. Just looked like it had been tipped onto the bar after two step-overs from him, and it rattled off the underside. They started in the same vein in the second half. 55th minute, Tillman got his second. He took his time in the box, just keeping it away from defenders with a few lovely touches. He struck it low, he struck it hard, and the keeper got a hand on it, but he couldn't stop the net bulging. That's his 12th goal of the season, his first campaign here in Scotland. The game just opened up from there. Tillman, Kent, Cantwell zipping the ball about, a really good display. And the second half was some of the best that we have seen under Beale, certainly here at Ibrox. And those three behind the striker, so bright, look like they've got great link up, and that's positive for them going forward. But they created so many chances. Morelos, Jack, Tavernier, Barisic, Kent all could and some should have scored. Beale will want his team to be more clinical going forward. The foot came off the gas in the last 15 minutes as several changes in personnel and formation were made for Dundee United. A tough day. I mean, it could have been worse. Their best effort was Craig Sibbald in the first half. A swerving strike from about 20 yards out. Just missed the target. A great effort, but that was all they had all afternoon. And looking at Rangers, they've got the gap down to 6 points now. The pressure is back on Celtic to extend it to 9 when they go to Dingwall tomorrow before next Saturday's Old Firm at Parkhead. So all eyes now turn to the hoops. But it was all about Malik Tillman today. Full-time here at Ibrox. Rangers 2, Dundee United 0.
Come on then, Rangers fans, what did you make of that? How impressed were you? I take it Malik Tillman caught the eye. How do you feel about trying to make sure you sign him in the summer? Get your calls in right now, please. First other full-time whistle was Easter Road. Roger Hannah.
Burnley in 1, Motherwell 3. Kevin Van Veen reaches 20 goals for this season. It's Wales' first win over Hibs in 8 games, and relegation is now just a distant worry for Stuart Kettlewell. 13 points from 18 under the new boss. Motherwell are up to 8th in the Premiership table, and it was a deserved win at Easter Road to hurt Hibs' Euro ambitions. It's their third straight defeat. There were jeers from the home fans in the main stand surrounding manager Lee Johnson, who was in the director's box, but it was a steelman from start to finish who dominated. He could have been ahead. Inside 7 minutes, Kevin Van Veen threw a great save by David Marshall. The ball rebounding to the edge of the box where Dean Cornelius was fouled by Jake Doyle-Hayes. He landed a booking, but a bigger punishment was when Sean Goss fired an exquisite left-foot free kick into the postage stamp corner from 22 yards. That really set the tone. Hits at half chance as Matthew Hobbs cut back, hacked away by Paul McGinn. Liam Kelly making a save from Kevin Nisbet, and then Chris Cadden coming off the right flank and curling a left foot shot off target. But Van Veen almost scored just before the break, busting clear, poking a shot beyond Marshall, but it slipped inches past the post. He did get on the score sheet after 54 minutes. However, this time from the penalty spot, a ball spinning between Blair Spittle and David Marshall. The Motherwell player just got his toe to it first. He was cleaned out by the Hibs goalkeeper, who earned a booking. It was VAR check, but it was confirmed as a spot kick. Van Veen hit it. Marshall got his body to it, but it just squirmed under him and into the back of the net for two. Goss then tried to beat Marshall from the halfway line, just like Patrick Sheik in the Euros, but the keeper this time got back to hold it under the bar. Motherwell sent on Harry Payton for a debut for the injured Spittle, and out the blue, Hibs got a lifeline in the game in 62 minutes. Caddens cross, Nisbet's header, it was 2-1. Harry McCurdy, the Hibs sub, then threatened an equaliser with an angle drive that flew inches wide of the far post, but Motherwell got back on top and got a deserved third in 81 minutes. Debutant Payton, he was floored by Will Fish at an angle on the left just outside the box. Another set piece, another fine finish by Van Veen, right footed across Marshall into the far corner. He was head and shoulders above anyone else in the park this afternoon. He deserved the win, so did Motherwell. Hibernian 1, Motherwell 3.
Great result that for Motherwell through in the capital. We've also got full times at St Mirren. Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, full time here. St Mirren 3, Livingston 0, and a standing ovation from the three home stands for the players. The St Mirren fans absolutely delighted with their ninth home win of the season. We said beforehand it was a must win, and they did so comfortably. All the goals coming the first 45 minutes. Two penalties by Mark O'Hara, both for handball given by VAR, and sandwiched in between a first goal for the club by Tony Watt, and all assisted by Curtis Main, who was outstanding. Comfortably and deservedly ahead, St Mirren at half time. 15 seconds, grind strain cross, flicked up into the air. Curtis Main got his head to it, a hit fits water in the hand. John Beaton said no penalty. After a 4 minute VAR check, he was sent over to the screen. He gave the penalty, and Mark O'Hara calmly stepped up to stroke the ball past the goalkeeper to his right. He scored another one in 41 minutes, sorry, a penalty, and it was almost identical this time, in almost identical circumstances. Main to flick, this time with his foot, to hit Jason Holt in hand. John Beaton said no penalty, awarded after VAR. O'Hara stepped up and put it into the same corner, and in between Tony Watt getting his first goal for the club. As Main did really well, got to the byline and cut the ball back. Watt held off the challenge by De Lucas and calmly rounded George to tap the ball into the back of the net. Nicky Devlin almost gave Livingston a lifeline just on half-time with a hook shot that hit the bar and the post, but changes at half-time. Montana and Omoyonga on for Penrice and Holt by David Martin. They only made a difference because Libby were far better in the second half. Only 20 seconds gone in the second half. Montano powered the header towards goal. Really good diving save by Carson. Then a minute later, Devlin broke on the right-hand side and his shot come cross was just inches wide of the far post. At the other end, quick feet by Ryan Strain, the St Mirren right fullback, gave himself space. His lovely chip just drifted inches wide. But then a spell where Livy had a few chances. Nobly shrugged off Shaughnessy and his a challenge. He got space inside the box, 16 yards out, shot over when he really could have scored. But as the game went on, you could just see the heart going out of the Livy game as they realised they couldn't get back into this one. As often happens, St Mirren quite comfortable, couldn't quite hit the same high as the first half. Happy to sit deep and hold on to the three-goal lead. Gogic, again, outstanding as well, denied a tap-in by a brilliant Fitzwater touch of the back post. Curtis Main, still a real threat, couple of efforts. And then Joe Shaughnessy with a firm header, really powerful, but straight at Shamal George. Carson was called into action in the 84th minute to touch a Kelly shot over, but Saints sought the game out comfortably. A day to forget for Livingston. They were off it all day, but a good day all round for St Mirren. With Hibs losing, they jump into fifth place, just three games to go before the battle for top six is ended. Full time in Paisley, St Mirren 3, Livingston 0.
Massive result that one. What about Rugby Park? Did Kilmarnock hang on, David Friel?
They certainly did, Gordon. Full time, Kilmarnock 2, Hearts 1. This place absolutely erupted at full time. What a win for Kelly in a battle to avoid relegation, and what an effort from Derek McInnes' side. He would have been happy to get 3 points in any fashion, but he did it the hard way after playing the last half hour with 10 men following Rory McKenzie's red card. Danny Armstrong scored, Christian Doyle scored after two Xander Clark mistakes in that first half. This was a brilliant team display from Kelly. They're 6 points ahead of the D-rated at the bottom. This could be a huge win for their season. As for Hearts, I think it might be crisis mode now. They're in a real form slump. They've lost 5 of the last 6 games. The away fans, they were booing at full time. Robbie Nielsen taking a lot of stick. They have been chased hard by Aberdeen in that race for third. Only a point between them now. Kelly, as I said, they fully deserved. They started really well, but then Hearts stunned them with the opening 7 minutes. Long Shanklin is now in 22 for the season after a brilliant low finish from the angle of the box. Kelly kept going. Equaliser came in 22 minutes. First disaster for Xander Clark. Liam Donnelly's drive had power, but it was straight at the goalkeeper. He spilled it. He then brought down Kyle Vassell, and Danny Armstrong did the rest from the spot for his 10th of the season. Clark held his hands up for that one. He then went down with a hamstring injury. He got treatment. Ross Stewart was ready to come on. Robbie Nielsen kept him on, and disaster struck just before half time. Armstrong whipped in a brilliant cross. Clark came out to take it. He missed it, and Christian Doidge, the Hibs player, did the rest. Clark was taken off at the break, no surprise there, and Hearts then had to chase the game. They did have some chances. They had corners, Lorne Shankland twice, he had efforts. Sam Walker, pretty comfortable saves, but then came the red card on the hour mark. Rory McKenzie, he was guilty of falling through on George Grant. It was a VAR check. He was sent off. After that, you thought Hearts were going to come strong, but they didn't really. Kelly were good. They kept in the break. Kyle Vassell had a chance. Young David Walsh, absolutely outstanding. He had a chance as well. Hearts did press in the final stages, but Kelly held on, and they fully deserved it. They place it full time. The spirit of togetherness. Kelly fully believe they can stay up. As for Hearts, a lot to chew over. Full time, Kilmarnock 2, Hearts 1.
Another huge result in two different ways, you'd have to say. Kelly fans, Hearts fans, you're more than welcome. Step up to the plate and talk to us. What about McDermott Park, Dave Galloway?
St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 1, and all action start to this game. Saints going very close after a corner. Gordon's volley brilliantly parried by Roos, who also did well to deal with Considine's follow-up. But Considine got a straight red card on his birthday as well for a last man challenge on Majovski, who'd been put through by Shinney following a VAR review that also changed a penalty award to a free kick just outside the box. Visiting keeper Roos, though, was forced into action shortly after to block Ruddon's effort at his near post. At the other end, Ramadani's curler from the edge of the box clipped the woodwork, and it took a superb save by Matthews to turn McDonald's header from Clarkson's free kick behind. Aberdeen went ahead after 31 minutes. McDonald connected with Hayes' corner. Matthews seemed to have dealt with things but fumbled the ball in. Majovski headed Hayes' cross wide in first half injury time when he really should have hit the target, and that was a very decent chance to make it 2-0. In the second half, plenty possession from Aberdeen, but St Johnstone were very well organised and making things hard for their opponents. This meant that there was very little happening of note, in contrast to an entertaining first half. Saints, though, should have equalised when May's cross found Halberg, but his header lacked the power or direction to trouble Roos. But Duncan went close to doubling the Dons' lead. The young sub cutting in from the right-hand side to curl a drive from the edge of the box that flashed wide. Halberg looked certain to score an equaliser for Saints when Murphy set him up, but he miskicked right in front of goal, while Clarkson failed to hit the target when he had space in the box at the other end. On 91 minutes, Aberdeen skipper Shinney was sent off, a second yellow card for him for a tackle on right. St Johnstone, it has to be said, deserve a lot of credit for their gutsy second half display, a header from skipper Gordon hitting the bar right at the death. But it's job done for Aberdeen, who narrow the gap on third place in the Premiership to just 1 point. St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 1.
A very, very interesting day indeed. So let's hear your thoughts. 01419511025. That is the beauty of this stage on a Saturday. You've been to the game and you then tell us what you made of it. Always like this last hour of the show, we get everyone involved. So let's hear it then. Rangers fans, you'll be coming out of Ibrox now. What did you make of that today? How satisfactory was it? There's been a bit of a theme this season where you're always looking for a bit more and feel you should have scored more, and the performance was a bit underwhelming. Was it like that today, or was it better? Malik Tillman was clearly the star of the show. How would you assess his performance, and how do you feel now about making his move a permanent one in the summer? Pick up the phone and let us know. Motherwell fans, come on, surely some bragging from you, going all the way through to the capital, coming back with 3 points. And if we're talking about capital woe, Hibs and Hearts would be in there together. You Hearts fans, where are we? Are we in crisis mode yet, or is there still a bit to go? Do let us know. St Mirren fans, arguably result of the day from you, why not get in touch? And Celtic fans, will preview Ross County against Celtic for tomorrow as well. So come on down, 01419511025.
After the action, it's your reaction. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dale are here, but they want to hear from you. What did you make of your team's performance this afternoon? That is the aim of the game on the open line on a Saturday evening. So Rangers fans, if you're just coming out of Ibrox, what did you make of it? How would you sum up the performance? Are you still looking for a bit more? Are you looking for more goals, more cutting edge? Or does today not fall into that bracket? Was it good? Was it comfortable? Do let us know. What about Malik Tillman? He gets a double today. He's well into double figures now for the season. He's in red hot scoring form. How much do you want to keep him come the summer? 01419511025. Big wins for Motherwell, St Mirren and Aberdeen, Kilmarnock. So your fans will all be delighted if you want to share your happiness. And on the other side of that, Hearts fans, Hibs fans, what is happening? Hearts in particular, a really bad run at the moment. Share your thoughts, please. And of course, a nod to Ross County against Celtic tomorrow as well. Hugh Keevans, it's been quite a day.
Well, I'm just looking. Dundee United, rock bottom of the table. And with Kilmarnock getting that spirited win over Hearts, are 6 points away from them now. I mean, we're getting into eight games left for these two, and a 6 point gap between Dundee United and Kilmarnock. That's heavy stuff. We'll see what happens to Ross County tomorrow. Great day for Motherwell. They leapfrog St Johnstone. So Stuart Kettlewell has done a magnificent job. St Mirren leapfrog Livingston. Again, Stephen Robinson has done a terrific job. But the losers today, Dundee United, who lose ground, significant ground, and Hibs, who lose significant ground as well and fall out with their own supporters because they've all gone home early and we know who they're blaming.
It's a good few standout results in there. Rangers against Dundee United went the way we all expected, but the rest, you've got to say, Motherwell away at Easter Road, a terrific performance and result. Matched by Kilmarnock at home to a very good Hearts side, and then St Mirren 3 up in no time at home, 11 in Aberdeen. Nicking a goal against 10 men St Johnstone to keep in Hearts' tails. So good day for a lot of managers out there who may have been feeling the pressure, but yeah, it's been a good afternoon.
Yeah, it's not been a good afternoon for Dundee United and probably Ross County tomorrow. They're starting to get adrift at the bottom. Worrying times. Great result for Derek McInnes. Certainly needed it. But I keep saying, if Kilmarnock are going to stay in this league and pull away from the relegation problems, they've got to get it right in the away games, which they've not done so far this season. But that was a good result. Down to 10 men, showed a lot of character. Rangers, routine 3 points. It's over to Celtic tomorrow in Dingwall.
It is indeed. If you want to talk about that game in Dingwall, it's the same number. We'll preview that one. We'll look back on today. 01419511025. Brian is a Rangers fan. Were you at the game today, Brian?
Yes, I was at the game with my son today.
Yeah, what did you make of it?
I was unimpressed. It was a good, solid performance, but I'm expecting more against a team that's fighting relegation, if I'm honest.
Is this a bit of a theme at Ibrox this season, Brian? Even under Michael Beale, everybody knows you cannot argue with the number of league wins in Michael Beale's time, but he himself said yesterday something he said before, that the next step is to really add convincing performances at Ibrox. Easter Road was very good, Tynecastle was very good. What is it about these Ibrox games?
I think, if you take today's game as an example, we played pretty much the whole game in the final third. They put 4-6 guys behind the ball, facing the play all the time. It just goes left to right, right to left. I think it's really just quite predictable and quite easy for defenders to play against. They're like some Tillman and Cantwell, fantastic, just want to get forward, want to move the ball, but there's a lack of options when you play one up top at Ibrox. I think you're just shutting yourself down. I don't think the way that we shape up really gives us any other option than to go left and right, if I'm honest.
Well, it could be. Not that this will cheer Brian up, but it could be worse if Cantwell has only just been signed and Tillman, you know, there was an accusation that it was even less creative not that long ago. But yeah. I'm seeing a theme here, Gordon. I feel like a lot of these 3 o'clock Saturdays, Ibrox, feel like we have the same discussion afterwards.
Yeah, I think what the Rangers fans will enjoy today was especially the first goal. I thought the first goal was an absolute terrific move. Cantwell and Tillman. Great ball in, Tavernier fires in, Tillman, Cantwell round the corner, good finish. I think the problem for Rangers at Ibrox is if they go away from home, like say Easter Road, I think Hibs played right into Rangers' hands. They come out, they tried to attack Rangers. Rangers far too strong. It's the same when they go to other grounds. You'll get teams that will have a little bit of go because they're at home. At Ibrox, most teams, apart from Celtic, pitch up there and they stick everybody behind the ball and try and hit them in the counter attack. And Rangers play too slow a football to break them down quickly. And I think that's where the frustration's coming from.
The thing is, Mark, look, everybody knows that that's what's going to happen. And it happens then every time you play at home. So it can be frustrating, fine, but you just ultimately have to find a way of blitzing through it. And dare I say it, the elephant in the room when you discuss this is the fact that Celtic are doing it as well, because yeah. Dundee United will go to Celtic Park and try and do that, and so will Ross County, and so will Livingston, and so on. You need to find that way, I suppose, if you're Michael Beale.
Celtic are just in a totally different place from Rangers at the minute. They've got a style of play that every team they come up against find it hard to track runners. But they've also got players who can just unlock that wee bit of magic. So it is different. But football's funny because I'm watching that game.
You thought Rangers were good today?
I thought they were good today. Now, I will agree with Brian. Most of the game was played in the final third. And if anything was lacking, it was that, you know, killer instinct just to finish teams off. I thought a lot of the stuff around about the box was good. You look at the chances created, then you look at Kent, looked much livelier, crashes one off the bar. Thought Jack could have scored. I thought Tillman could have probably added to his two goals. Cantwell looked lively. I was the opposite.
But you've got to ask yourself something, Mark. Is it a lot better than, let's go back to last time Dundee United were at Ibrox. I think Colac scored 2-0, and the Rangers fans left in their droves about 75 minutes because they didn't like what they were watching. It was better today, I agree with Mark, but I don't think it's up to the standard that the Rangers fans are looking for.
Michael Beale might well say, Brian, but come on, look at the points. We're winning comfortably. I know what you're saying, it might not be exciting, but it was never in doubt. Today, has he got the right to sort of point to that win percentage and maybe feel some of the criticisms a bit harsh?
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm being a bit harsh in the squad because my expectations of what I want to see in a Saturday is probably a lot higher than we can get to right now. But I think Gordon somebody touched on it a second ago around the fact that Celtic are a different animal right now. The way I see the difference for me is that when Celtic come up against a Dundee United like today, they will play the ball left to right. They'll try putting a ball into the channel. They'll go over the top. They're absolutely giving defenders lots to think about. They don't know whether to turn, whether to sit, whether to hold a line. For us, it's just, you just know where it's going, right? You know it's going out to Tav, you know it's coming in, and there's a couple of passes in the middle, maybe it's going back to Jack. It's really quite predictable, and I'd like to see us varying our play and giving defenders a lot more to think about in the final third. And I think if we do that, we might score a bit more goals and it might be a bit more attractive for us.
Well, Glasgow standards are different, Hugh. We know that. There's a reason for it. These teams are massive. Winning is not always enough.
And the world will look a different place if Rangers beat Celtic next Saturday. I don't think that Michael Beale is playing with the team that he wants, because he wants a big summer. He's already stipulated 5 new signings. He's going, not through the motions, but he's going through the fixtures with a squad of players that he knows will be substantially changed in the summertime. Celtic tend to get you out of your seats. Brian is telling you that Rangers don't have that effect on him. But I have to think practically. The lead is now 6 points. Celtic must win in Dingwall tomorrow. Otherwise, the game at Celtic Park next Saturday becomes an altogether species, altogether different species. It remains to be seen. If Celtic do win tomorrow and win next Saturday as well, then Brian can just say, I knew that was going to happen, and he'll wait until Rangers make their summertime signings.
Thank you very much to Brian from Air 01419511025. Ross is a Rangers fan. Were you there as well, Ross?
I was there. I'm just on the car home just now.
Oh, it's a slow drive at this time of night, I'm sure. Let's flip it a little bit, because you might have the same concerns as Brian. What did you like about today? I mean, let's start on a positive. What about Malik Tillman?
Tillman for me is the best young player I've seen at Ibrox since Barry Ferguson. He's brilliant. If it wasn't for him today, we probably would have drew that game. He's just got a touch of class about him that's, if we're going to rebuild in the summer and Beale's getting money to spend, then he's got to be a part of it. He's a top player.
Yeah, Mark, it's funny because lots of people are already on Twitter and the previous caller talking about how Rangers are, you know, sort of missing a spark. You almost then dread to think what that lack of spark would look like if Malik Tillman wasn't there, and if, you know, Todd Cantwell's only just in January. Has he been the one proper standout in that creative area?
Yeah, well, all season, not just today, but you know, any midfielder, touched on it earlier, any midfielder that gets in double figures is worth their weight in gold. Now, that's £5 million in this current climate. I think that's good business to get him in. Plus, you're not spending £5 million and wondering how he will settle in. You're paying £5 million for him knowing that he's getting you those goals and he's integrated into a team and into a style. So I think he really has been a standout all season. Now, it peaks and troughs like any young player does, but for the large part of it, he's the one that's grabbed games with a scruff of the neck when Rangers have been struggling and pulled him through.
He's got 6 goals in his last 6 games, Gordon.
He's been excellent, you've got to say. I agree. I think that every Rangers fan leaving Ibrox or watching it on Rangers TV or whatever will be desperate to get that deal over the line. £5 million, yeah, you can question the money, but for a 20-year-old that you know inside out, you know is delivering at this moment in time, then I'm sure every Rangers fan would love to see that deal getting done as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, that if that is the price, it's been thrown out there a lot. You think that's a definite for the summer? You've seen enough?
Definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, he hadn't played barely any first team football before he's came to us this year. I mean, if you spend £5 million, I'm pretty confident you could recoup that and more, obviously, in a couple of years' time. It's a no-brainer for me. But he's getting better every time. At the start of the season, he looked good, but the last couple of months, obviously, his numbers, he's scoring basically nearly every game now. So definitely, if you spend £5 million for him, you'll get that back and plenty on top of it.
The relationship between the club and the Rangers fans in terms of recruitment is a delicate one at the moment. We saw the banners at Motherwell a couple of weeks ago, time for change.
I think they were outside Ibrox today, and again, then they were removed before the game, but you know, on that at the corner, yeah, on the roundabout.
Well, this makes Malik Tillman the number one priority, I would say, because the Rangers fans are making it clear that they can see all the potential in the world. We know the price is around £5 million. Rangers have got to do that, otherwise the tension that exists will get even worse.
Yeah, and yet some people will say, yeah, but goalkeeper's priority and a number nine's a priority. Yeah, but those are conversations for another day.
Talking about the man who provides the spark, and right now his name is Malik Tillman.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, is he, if I was to sort of paraphrase the previous caller, is Malik Tillman papering over some of the cracks going forward? Is that fair? Did you see similar concerns to the previous caller today?
For me, they're overplaying it a bit. Eh? They get in good positions, but they're overplaying it, trying to walk in. He's the one I'll take a bit of a risk, and obviously there's quite a lot of side-to-side stuff playing on the opponent's 18-yard box and that, but he's the one that can break the lines and score for you. So, I don't know. Obviously, there's a big rebuild in the summer. Ross Wilson, I probably wouldn't let him pick my nose, so I don't know, we'll see in the summer how it goes, but for me, Tillman's got to be the first priority.
On that note, 01419511025, if you call now, there's a good chance you'll be on next. The games are over, the talking begins. 01419511025, Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevan's all here. They've just witnessed a dramatic afternoon of Scottish Premiership action. Is there any other kind of afternoons of Scottish Premiership action? And it's now over to you to get your thoughts in so far. Lots of Rangers fans getting in touch, pleased with the result, not overly excited by the performance, but delighted with Malik Tillman's contribution. That's like been the theme so far. If you want to agree, give us a call. If you want to shake it up and disagree, give us a call. We'll hopefully start hearing from some managers very soon, although times are a-changing, Hugh, because at 5:30 on a Saturday, the games didn't finish that long ago because of all the VAR checks and so on.
Well, this will be a recurring theme, and that we just have to get used to it because it's not going away. But I don't know, I wonder about the effect it has on people.
Celtic fans, we could look ahead to tomorrow as well, if that tickles your fancy. Let's do Jack and Shettleston though. Malik Tillman, Jack, is that the main talking point from today?
Yeah, I think so, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I think the difference between Tillman with Gio, when he was with Gio, to Gio was unbelievable. I think by the looks of it, sometimes when it was with Gio, you're like, he's not trying a hand at all, he's not bothered. And then with Beale, it's totally different. He does seem to be putting a shift in, really trying. And then you start to think, was Gio telling him, just don't bother tracking back, just stay up there and cheat anyway, like people used to say. and they kind of played against him a wee bit, because sometimes he was getting absolutely slaughtered for not trying. But he's totally different now with Michael Beale, it seems. Don't know what you think about that.
Lots of players like that, I would say. I mean, the difference, you can talk about Rangers and just how exciting it is, particularly at Ibrox, but if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has still been in charge, that was the type of game that Rangers would have drawn. So he has made a difference, but not yet enough of a difference. And Malik Tillman, very interested to see his performance next Saturday, because the Celtic game is one in which he has not risen to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right, because when I say he scored six in his last six, he got a double today. Do the arithmetic. The one game in his last six that he didn't score in was the Celtic game. Was he fit before it? And people questioned that, but you would be right, they would be looking for something. Do you recognise an upturn under Michael Beale compared to...
Yeah, without a doubt. I think Beale also mentioned that they'd been working closely with him and you know, certain aspects of his game, positionally, when to arrive next to the frontman. I think you can certainly see that, particularly some of the goals he's scoring. I mean, that one today, that's, you know, instinct, and that's been worked on. You need the players to play the pass around the corner, but Tillman obviously knows when to make the run. But Hugh is right. A big one for Rangers fans will be, how can Tillman take that to the next level? So he's the spark, and he has been the spark for a lot of the season, but they need the spark on the big occasion. And the games against Celtic, whether he's been lacking fitness or just played out of position, he's went missing in them. So next week's a big test for the young man.
Two obvious conclusions though, Gordon. I suspect where Jack's coming from is Michael Beale is better at getting the most out of Malik Tillman than Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was. But at the same time, the passage of time has helped, because when Malik Tillman takes to the field against Livingston on the opening day of the season, it's his eighth game as a professional footballer. So he's now got that under his belt to sort of grow, regardless of who the manager is. And then, yeah, if Michael Beale is better at getting the most out of him, then so be it.
Yeah, I would never use the sense of I look at a player and I don't think he's trying under a certain manager. I think that the difference with him is what you're saying, Gordon. I think he's grown into the club. I think he's getting better at game time. I think Beale's tweaked the formation that helps him get on the end of chances, and he's certainly delivering. And I think the boy's grown in confidence. Remember, this is a boy at 20 years of age that hardly kicked a ball in the first team when he came over to Scotland. He's came to a big club that expect performances week in, week out. So it's a lot to take on a young man's shoulders, but I think he's certainly grown into it, and the Rangers fans now love him.
Any doubt about trying to secure things for next season, Jack?
I don't know. I think it'll be kind of one that we all want. But as you're saying, I think Beale's trying to get through these kind of this season to the end of the season. He's saying he wants five new players, and he said before if he's signing people, he wants starters. Do you think that's five people he's wanting in to start? You know, so that's more than about half the team. You know, so this isn't his team. So it's good to see he's still getting the results and what have you that way. But I think Tillman will be a big part of that if he wants to, if he can stay.
Just one of those unavoidable things, Mark. You know that the loan option's not for everyone, but it gives you this avenue. You think, was it last summer when people said that, well, like, Celtic have to keep Jota and Carter Vickers, they just have to, which means X amount of your budget is on guys that you had already. But that sometimes misses the point, because what if the Tillman you get next season is much better than the one you got this season? You could argue that Carter Vickers has grown and become even more important to Celtic now than he was then. Without so maybe doubt. A bit simple to say, oh, what a waste, it's, you know, it's just money on guys that were already in the building.
But they're the most important ones, Gordon. I think the ones that stand out are the most important ones to secure. You're right in mentioning Jota and Carter Vickers, because those were the two that were crucial for Celtic to secure, and they did. It took a wee bit of time with Carter Vickers. Now it's the same for Tillman, because you let Tillman go back and you then got this maybe 4 or 5 million to spend elsewhere. You can never guarantee somebody will come in and fit into the club the way that Tillman has this season for a young player. So when you've got them there, it just makes sense for everybody to secure them, especially one so young that there will be a resale value on that.
I suppose that is one way of looking at it, Gordon. Would the Rangers fans right now, would they trust Ross Wilson, the recruitment department, to use £5 million and find someone better than Malik Tillman?
Yeah, and especially at the age. And Mark touches on the point that he's a young lad, and what he's shown now is he's only going to get better. He's going to improve. I thought you made great points with Carter Vickers and Jota, for instance. You know, they had to get Celtic had to get them in, and look at the way they're performing. I think Tillman, if he gets a settled home under a manager he plays well under, I think he'll only get better.
Thank
so it'd be
you,
good
Jack and Shettleston. What about David and Paisley? Sum up your feelings tonight, David.
Good evening. First and foremost, before I go into what I'm going to say, I've got to make it abundantly clear that we've got to obviously give Michael Beale the time in the summer and probably in January two windows to try and build his own team. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I've got to be honest, I'm scratching my head watching what he's putting on that park week in, week out. Where do I start? I mean, I've been on this show under the previous manager about John Lundstrom, and I'm going to go on about him again. How that made it in professional football, I just do not know. Maybe in the pub before the game starts, whatever, you're talking to your pals or whatever, and you're picking a team and saying, right, who can be effective here, who can be effective there. I see nowhere in the field of play where John Lundstrom can be effective. Ryan Jack's another one. He plays one good game in 10. I mean, Ryan Jack plays beside John Lundstrom. Honestly, it's like the two stooges. Today, for example, the game was so condensed with the system that Michael Beale picked. I get that he's trying to get Tillman and Cantwell in the same team because they are very, very good footballers. I get that. I can see what he's trying to do. But when you've got a team that condensed the game, and that's what they did today for the majority of the game, and we were struggling, you need one of your two midfielders to break the lines. And none of the two will break the lines. Glenn Kamara's sitting on that bench, and he must be shaking his head and going, I know my form's been poor this season, but if that's getting picked in front of me, I must be really, really bad. I'm struggling. I've said it under Van Bronckhorst, and I'll say it again. I'm not laying all the blame at Lundstrom's door, but what I'm saying is, when you're against teams like today, I fail to see where he can be effective in the game.
Yeah, I don't think John will be alone in this. Going back to Ryan Jack, I think Ryan Jack's playing very well, but I like Ryan Jack with Raskin in there. I think they have developed a good partnership when they play. I thought at Easter Road the two of them were absolutely brilliant, complemented each other. I'm with the caller. I don't see John. I don't see the.
His name's David, but never mind.
Oh yeah, I'm waltzing to set me up. David, I've got that written down. Sorry, David. I don't see the big deal in Lundstrom. I think he's a decent enough player. But going forward, I'm with David. I don't see a lot in him.
I think we're back in
you.
That scenario where Michael Beale is dealing with players who may not be there next season. He is negotiating his way between now and the end of the season, having stipulated he wants five new faces in and Tillman to remain, I assume. So Lundstrom is in that holding.
Different for him, though, because somebody's going to have to buy him. Ultimately, you know, Ryan Jack's out of contract, Arfield's out of contract. We know Morelos and Kent need to sell.
That's why we're back to this fascinating thing where you're telling me that they're outside the ground again today complaining about the recruitment policy, the player trading model. The summertime will be a long one for Rangers, particularly if Celtic have won the title. There are so many players that we've got to get in and out and get it right in both directions.
David, judging by your tone, I'm going to guess that this winning league run that Michael Beale is on is not fully doing it for you. Is that fair?
Yeah, let me be perfectly honest. I mean, I wanted somebody else in, but obviously they chose not to come. I wasn't unhappy when we appointed Michael Beale, because I do think he's got a lot of good ideas. But touching on what Hugh said, that's not necessarily the case with Lundstrom, Hugh, because Michael Beale said when he first came in that he's a very important member of the team and he wants to actually get him on an extended contract. So that really, really, really worries me if he's looking at somebody like that being effective in our team. And I come on And Gordon might remember this because he was on the show and I said, every battering we've had this season, the 4-0 game at Parkhead, the game with Liverpool, the game in Ajax, every team went to us right through the middle from the word go. Because no disrespect to John Lundstrom, it's not his fault, but he's not mobile and he's not quick enough. And I really, really struggled to see where the previous manager and the current manager, I struggled to see what they see in the guy.
David, thank you very much. I have to leave it there because I'm a bit late. I'm a bit pushed for time. Rangers did win today, but David quite obviously has got some improvements on his mind. We'll hear from Michael Beale next, and we've got happy Motherwell fans getting in touch as well.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
You're about to get the thoughts of Michael Beale after today's 2-0 win. Today's one of those days that sums up the expectation level. And I'm not knocking it, by the way, because that's what it is. We've got these two big teams, two big budgets, and sometimes winning is not enough. I just would like to be inside the minds of people who don't know our environment, Hugh, and they switch on the radio and they hear David, the previous caller, and think, oh wow, Rangers must have lost today.
Wait until they turn on next Saturday.
Yeah, you'll be in for a shock. A good shock.
Is there life on Mars?
Let's bring in Stephen, who's a Motherwell fan. What a result that was today, Stephen.
Unbelievable. And I just have to say, take a bow, Stuart Kettlewell. 13 points from 18 available. And that was a good performance against Rangers. He's got one manager in the month of the world. The squad looks settled. And he's come in and he's secured safety after six games. Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's funny because we were actually talking during the break about, it's probably a bit late for Motherwell to make top six. That's going to be tough. The whole point, Stuart Kettlewell was in because it looked like Motherwell might go down. There was a serious relegation doubt. You've been knocked out the cup by Championship opposition and you needed to do something desperately, Mark. And since then, beat St Mirren, beat Hearts, beat Ross County, beat Hibs, draw at Kilmarnock. And of course a defeat by Rangers.
Well, terrific results. Now St Mirren and Hearts, when he was interim manager and they got offered the job, I thought, yeah, okay, he deserves a crack at it. But I couldn't have foreseen the turn up and results after that. I mean, going away from home as well, you know, getting the last minute free kick was at Rugby Park, just showed the spirit of the team. Then you look at going to Ross County, and then today's result, probably pick of the bunch, going to Easter Road, where you're talking about Hibs looking up, try to catch Hearts, and they go there and win convincingly. So what a job he's done. And it's about maintaining that and seeing how far he can, or how much he can squeeze out of the squad in the remaining games.
You've been spoiled a bit though, Stephen, Motherwell fans, when you think of the managing to always sort of find a reliable goal scorer over the years, having gone from Michael Higden and John Sutton and Louis Moll and Kevin Van Veen. How would you rate Kevin Van Veen's season?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And you see Motherwell fans early in the season questioning him. If it wasn't for his goals in the early part of the season, we wouldn't even have been in the platform to go on and be sitting in eighth at the minute. We might be a bit nearer to the teams at the bottom, but we'd have been stranded if it wasn't for Kevin Van Veen. I'm pretty sure they'll leave at the end of the season, I think. But we've always done it. You mentioned some people there. You can even go back to as far as Chris Porter. Motherwell have always been good at finding strikers that are good mid-level strikers for their club like us. And hopefully if Kevin does leave, the scouting gets it right again. But I don't need to see Motherwell winning every week, but what I want to see is a certain level of commitment, hard work, desire, and they've been given us that every game since Kettlewell's come in.
I mean, Hugh, it's now 11 points better off than Dundee United, who are bottom, and 9 points better than Ross County, who do have a game in hand, but that game in hand is Celtic.
And it all comes from that saying about it being darkest before the dawn, because on the night that Raith Rovers put Motherwell out of the Scottish Cup and the manager left the ground without speaking to the press, the whole thing was shambolic. And out of this, you get Stuart Kettlewell. And people are saying, oh, he just happened to be there, he's a cheap option. And he has done exceptionally well. And he has guaranteed, I think you can safely say, Motherwell are not involved in any relegation dramas pre or post split. So he's one of the big winners today, Stuart Kettlewell. Barry Robson is the other big winner at Aberdeen because he's 1 point behind Hearts now, and it's all gone pear-shaped for Hearts at the minute.
And Stephen Robinson, I'm sure. Aston Villa have taken the lead against Chelsea. It could have been our own goal machine. John McGinney just hit the bar. That set the tone. Villa have now just scored in the later kickoff there. Logan's a St Mirren fan. We were just about to get Logan on. He's disappeared, so why not give us a call back? Gordon, you can understand Stephen's praise of Kevin Van Veen, Stuart Kettlewell, all of the above.
Yeah, the manager's certainly given them a lift, and with that comes the confidence of winning games. When they went 2-1 up today and went 2-0 up and then Hibs score, you know, months and months ago you'd probably be thinking the worst, but well done to them, they're in a great run.
Is that another point, Stephen, that maybe, you know, the mentality, and I suppose that comes with winning and the belief, but at 2-1, as Gordon probably rightly says, you'd have chucked that earlier in the season?
I'm going to mention one thing that I think has been a big platform to the results, and it's having the settled back line that we've got. We've got Johnson now, Furlong, and then the three at the back with Casey, Butcher and McGinn. That then gives you the platform to allow the likes of Van Veen to get on the ball. We've also moved Blair Spittle into a role in behind the front two, and I think that suits him down to a T. So there's been a couple of things that have given us this platform. But I have to say, from a personal point of view, what a week. Motherwell win, Scotland hammer Spain, I'm buzzing.
You are buzzing indeed. So Stuart Kettlewell, I'm sure two great free kicks from Motherwell today. Maybe, I don't know, maybe David Marshall would ask questions about the second, but they couldn't save the first one, that's for sure. Sean Goss and Kevin Van Veen.
I thought we were really, really good in the game, especially in the first half. I thought we were in control. Thought we started the second half well. But the biggest takeaway for me was when we conceded the goal against nothing, really, at that point. Hibs didn't have much in the game. And then I just felt that we showed good character just to manage the game at that point. We had to tweak our system a little bit just to make sure that we stayed in the position we wanted to be. But obviously we get that third goal that gives us a wee bit more comfort. So coming away to Easter Road and getting a 3-1 and probably being as comfortable as it was for spells was good for us.
Set pieces, have they worked on through the week?
I think it's just been a wee bit more encouragement to the players. You look at guys like Slattery, who scored down at Kilmarnock a few weeks back, Sean Goss, Kim Van Veen. They're all more than capable, so I think it's just getting it right on the big moments. I see them doing it in training every day, so the fact that they go and do it when it really, really counts at Easter Road is pleasing, of course.
Yeah, I think the manager is a happy chappy. He's worked very hard in the training, by the sounds of it. Set plays are a massive part in the game just now. And obviously it's paying dividends, and another three great points at Easter Road this afternoon.
Let's hear from Michael Beale, shall we, on the game in general.
Really comfortable. We knew they were going to come and make life difficult for us. You've only got to take one look at the league table to know that. And, you know, they've got nine cup finals, or eight more now. So you know they're not going to come and play open. So it was just, we started the game quite well. The keeper makes a big save from Tav, and then their lad has an injury. We have Borner, and it gets a bit stuffy. So we needed the first goal. It was a fantastic goal as well. Some of the stuff we're working on against the block and Todd and Malik, that's a relationship I really want to encourage, and we've done a lot of work on it, and it was a really good first goal. Ryan Kent nearly scored a fantastic second one, so we could have gone in at half time 3-0 in front. We're not, so it's a dangerous scoreline, but I thought we were comfortable for our Alan had very little to do, and the only part I'll nitpick on is, can we be a little bit more ruthless, because we're creating a lot of chances and a lot of good moments as well, where it's 3v3 or 4v3, where we know that in games where it's, we need to be more decisive, we're going to have to be.
Well, if you want to concentrate on building the relationship between Cantwell and Tillman, then you have to keep Tillman, you have to pay your £5 million. So that has to be the number one priority at the end of the season.
Let's bring in Logan, who's a St Mirren fan. How good was that today, Logan?
Oh, that was cracking. I really enjoyed that. It was a really good win. I very, very, very happy. The first half was brilliant.
Is that as good as you've seen all season? I mean, there's been a few performances in there.
I think my favourite game was definitely the 2-0 win against Celtic.
Well, of course, that was silly of me. I sort of meant in the more the games against the teams around you. I mean, up to fifth now, Hibs are 1 point behind. How confident are you of top six?
More confident now than I was earlier on. Every time we play Livy, it's some sort of 0-0 or something like that. But no, I was very, very happy. They were really up for it.
How do you rate the job? Sorry, I was going to say, how do you rate the job Stephen Robinson's done? But carry on, Keanu Backus, is he someone that's standing out for you?
He was brilliant. He was everywhere on the pitch today. I really, really thought he's probably one of the best players in this club right now.
It's a great win, Hugh.
Oh, without doubt. See, Livingston are normally the stuffiest opponents you can get, but it was done and dusted by half time. For St Mirren to be in the top six and to have as good a crowd as they had today, because you know, Fraser kept going on about the three stands that were occupied by the home supporters, and you know, they have grown a support. They have excluded Rangers and Celtic fans, much to their annoyance, but it has worked for St Mirren, and this is a club on the up. They are making progress, and if you are a St Mirren on a relatively small budget, that is all you can ask.
Here's Stephen Robinson for you, Logan.
The first half was fantastic. You know, it's a tough game against Livingston, so we know that if we set off them, they put a lot of balls into areas that hurt us, into the two big strikers. You know, Newbley's a handful, as is Guthrie. So we pressed them really high up the pitch, and I thought our energy and our press was excellent, and our quality, which gets overlooked at times, was very, very good. And we got two penalties, but we got the two penalties from putting balls into areas, delivering balls into good areas, and making them defend. So first half was excellent, some very good performances, and the second half was the important thing, don't concede. And you know, we weathered a 5-minute spell at the start of the second half, and other than that, I didn't think they troubled us too much. So it's credit all the players.
Good result for St Mirren. Thanks to Logan for sharing his thoughts. We're almost out of time, Mark Wilson, so quickly on to tomorrow. What's the script for Celtic?
Well, it is always a challenge going up north to Ross County, but they are where they are in the league for a reason. Celtic need to play the same way. They will be missing a few of their standout players, but their squad's big enough to get the job done.
The agenda for next week is set by what happens tomorrow in the Highlands. If Celtic win and maintain the 9-point gap over Rangers, Rangers go to Celtic Park knowing that if they lose, the league's finished. If Celtic drop anything in the Highlands, Rangers go to Celtic Park knowing that the nuclear option might still be on.
Can't put up any argument that Celtic are going to drop anything tomorrow. I heard Malcolm Mackay talking about the pitch. It'll suit the way Celtic play. Fast-flowing football. 3 points in the bag for
well,
me.
Well, we will find out, and whatever happens tomorrow, we'll look back on it all on Monday night. It's already been a cracking weekend, a brilliant return to league football, so many talking points, and I'm sure we'll add a few more tomorrow and maybe even during the day on Monday as well. So 6 o'clock Monday night, make sure you join us, and you might as well stay right there because the GBX is up next.